Well, I didn't get the notes up for tonight, so I hope you wrote down some of these words from this morning. And I'm not sure if any of you had the time yet right off the bat here to put down your two columns and kind of think, what do you know about here? Where are you at? Where are you best at? Where are you not as good at? But I didn't look into anything. I thought, well, we'll just kind of wing this thing so that I can look it up on the concordance, or some of my memory still works. So for anybody popping in for the first time with part three here, we're looking at Galatians chapter 1, where Paul says that if anybody preach, here we go, if anybody preach, I would say, marvel at your... And talks about another gospel. And he says, which is not another. So this is obviously something that's called the gospel, but it is not the gospel, as he says there. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And if it's not what Paul teaches, he says, then it's a perverted, they're perverting the gospel of Christ. What Christ, the risen Savior, wants us to hear and to learn. They pervert it by going to another gospel, which really isn't another gospel. So we just looked at some verses. Part one and part two for introductory verses. The hardest thing I think it is for people to grab onto, good to see Brian and Adriana there. The hardest thing for people to grab onto is the fact that these nice, wonderful, pastoral, young, older, matured, nice guys, nice wives, pastors' wives, the whole spiel, who've been over backwards for you and help you out, would God consider them an evil man and a seducer? But that's what he says they are in 2 Timothy. These people, they get into this thing and they try to take down Paul. They're part of a conspiracy that has been around since, where's that at here? Since Acts 23. And what he says they're doing is they're greatly withstanding Paul's words. And obviously, they're not rightly dividing. And if they don't, then they're going to increase into more ungodliness, which is exactly what's happened in our country. And the words that these guys are preaching are going to eat away at the listeners, as doth a canker. And eventually they're going to err concerning the faith, and they're going to overthrow the faith of some. These marvelous, wonderful people that love you are lying to you when they teach you the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, can be taught along with Paul's Gospel, along with Peter's Gospel, along with James' Gospel, along with Jude. All these people, we can just do the same thing. We can mix them all. And you just have to know how to rightly divide the verses. Which ones affect to the modern Christian? Well, what is the modern Christian? The modern Christian today is following a perverted gospel. You need to compare it to Paul for our standard. Romans 2:16, he will be the one, his gospel will be the one Jesus Christ will use to judge our works. So anyway, so what we did here, we came up with a long list of a subject that could be taught one way, the modern gospel way, or it's different, it's Paul's gospel. And they are different. Well, we know that anything out of the Gospels, for example, which was also when the Tribulation books were written at the same time, those books weren't written after Paul. That kind of a thing. It's not a chronological book, but it's a rightly divided book. It's a dispensationally designed book. So when they're trying to combine all this stuff, they can't. And as I said this morning, the proof is in the pudding. Here's the pudding. We're going to look at some of these words tonight, and there's the proof that you can't teach both. You'll be teaching out of both sides of your mouth. You'll be a double-minded man. You'll be teaching one or the other. You confuse your people. And when it said there about getting people to teach fables and endless genealogies, it makes them have questions. It ministers questions. And we mentioned this morning how you go through the gospel teaching, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, try to apply that. You come up with questions. And again, like I said this morning, we here tonight looking at Paul because we ask questions. How can we sing Jesus paid it all if Jesus is going to hammer us or chastise us for our sins that we still commit? Or if 1 John chapter 3 is preached, I sin today. Am I no longer of God? Am I no longer born of God, like it says? Have I lost my salvation? I mean, these questions come up. all the time, because it's a false teaching. It's a fable if presented today. So, what I think is really a neat way to look at the fact that, yes, those we did come up with questions. And Paul's writings, the risen Savior, is the only place in that Bible that can answer those questions and leave no more questions. You know, one of the words you hear around here lately in this world, I guess, is the word absolutely. You know, when you ask somebody, do you think this is a good restaurant? Absolutely. I don't know who started that word, but it seems to be a hot word anymore. Do you believe that King James Bible is the Word of God? Absolutely. Do you believe that we're supposed to follow Paul's teachings only? Absolutely. Do you believe that we should follow King James only, rightly divided by look? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I think you're probably going to be able to hear the kids in the background. I've got my windows open. If you can hear the little three-wheeler little plastic little things running up and down the street, let me know. I'll close my windows. So, we also notice this one, that the real proverb of the proof is in the pudding goes like this. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. So until you get into this stuff and you realize this pudding, you get into this thing and you eat it, there's your proof. And the proof tonight is these subjects have two different, they've got the way of God in the Gospels, and like Paul says, it's the way of God more perfectly today. So it's just very simple, but most people don't get it or want to get it, or maybe it's just how it's presented, I don't know. So did you write those words down, anybody? You're going to be typing back and forth with me tonight with some references, unless you're going to be rebellious little students and not play along with this. Did you all get the names written down this morning if you were here? Did you, class, did you get the words written down this morning? No excuses, just yes or no. No, well, you weren't here, Brian. God's book, Sam did. Well, good. Mark, Peter wasn't here this morning, I don't remember, so, okay, well, here's one of those things, when kids are gone, and it affects the class, then we need to go over the list one more time, and the kids that did good, and did their, what the teacher saw it said, and wrote down the words, then you three or four can go outside and have recess for 10 minutes while I go through these words for everybody. And then we'll go back and we'll talk about a couple of them tonight. But I tell you, that's one of the hardest things going on in schools is the fact that the full class is never there. They very seldom have everybody in that class. And they're always going back and rehashing and trying to get the slow kids, the kids that are gone, the band kids, you know, that miss the lessons, miss classes. It's just a mess inside the school. Well, we had a meeting the other day and we were told that in 2014, the government's coming up with all new national standards for the schools. And the person that was telling us about it, presented it to us, said that you can't find hardly anything on it anywhere about what they're going to teach, what we're going to have to teach, what they're going to have to do. But they did say that the sixth grade standard is going to be moved down to the third grade. So it may sound good, but what they're going to be teaching little kids is stuff little kids ought not be learning. So it's about to get even worse. Right. Extra recess and cookies. There you go. So here we go. You guys that are out there, it's just horrible what's going on in schools. That's the generation, well, it's not even the little kids. It's gone. But anyway. Here's a list of words and what you need to do, Brian and Peter and Rocky Mountain, if you would, and AVE 1611, AV, and if you want to participate in this thing. We're going to look at these words. So you make like two columns, maybe three columns. The one on the left lists the words I'm going to give to you. And in the first column on the left up there, or the middle column, or whatever, how you drive this thing out, is going to be the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then the Tribulation books. Because that's where people today get most of their preaching from. And that would be the way of God, the Gospels. Then the far column on the right would be Paul's Gospel. What does he say about this subject? And you'll see that there's a difference. I think some of you, so draw that up. And you kids that go outside, you stay out of the mud, and don't be so loud that we can't pay attention in here, because these kids are jealous that you have to go. That you get to go out to recess. Come back in about 10 minutes, so we'll go through a couple words. Okay. So, do you remember I told you that when I first got into this Paul stuff, as a preacher, and I had to come up with some. I had to study what the Bible said about certain words. I've been a word study man since I started this thing. If every word of God is pure, then I thought I'd study the word, the actual word. And I realized that what this particular word comes up on a concordance, if you take Paul's books and you type up that word and you print out all those verses that that word is involved in, and then you just do the same thing with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, early Acts, and then go over to Hebrews, Jude, to the end, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then go to there. Those words had different application, different meaning, different usages, or however you want to look at it. It was different than what Paul had to say. So now when I study up for a sermon, I'll print off Paul's verses. Then I'll print off the other ones. And you can learn what Jesus taught in the Gospels, but we can also learn what we're going to be accountable for in our judgment seat of Christ when it comes to our works. And it's always been two different ways of looking at it. So here's the list of words that we're going to go over tonight and probably Wednesday and maybe Sunday. I don't know. We'll see how much we do of this stuff here. And my challenge for you is you take this list and you put them in that column. And you remember, you know some of this stuff already. What do the Gospels teach about this? Like, here's a simple one, tithing. What do the Gospels teach about tithing, the Old Testament and the Gospels? What does Paul teach about tithing and giving? What does he say? Then once you see the differences, you realize that you will confuse your people if you say, well, we teach the whole Bible. No, you can't do it that way. It'll be very confusing if they read it one way and you preach it another. People have to know that what they'll be accountable for is what Paul teaches. And you'll see the difference. Okay, here's the words. Here's the words. You ready? Now you got to do this. Brian, Adriana there. Adriana, are you there tonight? Is Brian there tonight? There we go. Good. Then you guys take your papers out there and you write these words down. And you skip a couple lines between each one. And you can do the columns and you'll see what we're talking about as we go here. Number one was the church. What the church. Number two is worship. Now, if you've been with me any length of time, you already know the differences here, but that's good. Pastors is number three. Number four is the way of God versus the ways of Paul. Am I going too fast? I hope not, because I want to get past this. I forgot the numbers already. The next one is ordinances. Ordinances. The next one is godliness. G-O-D-L-I-N-E-S-S. Godliness. Next one is judgment. And there's no E after G. J-U-D-G-M-E-N-T. I'll type it. That will give me about the same time it would take you to do it here. Judgment. Next one was chastisement. C-H-A-S-T-I-S-M-N-T. Next one would be blessing. The next one is believe. Is there a difference in what you believe? Oh, definitely. The phrase born again. Paul says, Paul says, quickened, made alive. Is there a difference? Yes, there is a difference there. We'll get to that when we get to that one. Kingdom. We have kingdom of heaven. And we have kingdom of God. Two different kingdoms. Where does that fit in dispensationally? We have the word of truth. We have scriptures. We'll look at commission. It isn't any biblical word, but we look at it because everybody uses the word Great Commission. Then in the other column, I'll type in Greater Commission. What kind of commission is out there for us today? We have the apostles. We have the apostles. We have the word doctrine. And is it apostolic doctrine or is it Paul's doctrine? Okay, we have Hebrews to Jude. What does that represent? We'll talk about that as we get into it. just like Gospels 2, Acts 8, even after that is some transition. We'll talk about those two. How about music? What's different about the music during the Gospels and Paul's time and our time today? And how about tithing? We'll mention something about movies, communication, images. That's what that's all about. Then we'll look at miracles. Miracles, signs, and... Come on now. And wonders. That doesn't look right, but it's there. Oops, we have tongues, speaking in tongues. Then lastly, we have sin and sinning. We have rightly dividing, and that is either by verse or by book. And then we had an odd one here. Something everybody wants to do for some reason, and that's fix America. What are the Gospels? So what did Jesus say about these days? What does Paul say about these days? What are we supposed to be doing regarding our country falling apart? Has it always been a Christian nation? Is it a Christian nation? Has God blessed it? You know, that whole thing, you know. And then lastly, which I believe is probably the hardest thing of any Paul-following, risen Savior-believing Christian, and that is manner of life. What manner of life should we follow? Because that's what will be held at the judge. That's what will be held accountable at the judgment seat. Okay, there's the list of things. Put them in your little column. Do your studies. I recommend you do your studies this way. Try to write them down without your book and see what you know. Write them down in pen. Then when you have to look them up in the book, use a pencil. You'd be surprised what you do know. Or you might be surprised that you don't know, even though you know the truth of it, you don't know where it's at. Okay, so, we did the church one this morning. Local body versus a body of Christ. The building, which is what denominations are all caught up into, is their building. And it's a place for them to go worship. And it's a place where you bring in the quote-unquote, the lost, but that's not what it's for. That may be what it was in early Acts. That's the Gospels column. But in Paul's column, the purpose is Ephesians 4. And it's Paul's ways that are supposed to be taught in every church. So there's a difference in the church. Everybody's churches today are trying to get more people to come by appealing to the worldliness of the world. And that's the wrong way to go about it totally. They're getting people, but it's not right for, they're not putting forth any truth. So we talked about that this morning. And then we stopped there. Now, is there anything that you have covered yourself that you would like to type in and mention some of the verses with your little typing skills? Anybody out there? Here's your chance. I'll pause. I thought the kids come back from recess now, so they're being kind of noisy. How come Sam is still red dotted? He'll be good when he comes in and sits down. Sam is a good little boy in class. He pays good attention. He's always playing with his toy submarines outside, so he's probably losing sound. Everybody losing sound? How can we be losing sound here? What am I doing? Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's probably Skype. I'm just going to sit still. Maybe just give it a minute while you're writing down your write down your word you want to look at tonight and what you know some of the verses are. If you want to take a time here. Does anybody want to do... I don't know. What do you want to do here? I'm leaving it up to you. The video crowd's going to be, boy, this is boring. Well, no, you can do the same thing out there, video people. You take your papers and you write those words down. And the notes will be out there eventually here. I'm just going to wait here for any kind of comments at all. What should we look at for the two different columns? Or have I lost you already? I'll just pick one and go, I guess. Realize my class is not paying attention to me. Or if the sound isn't working and the typing's not coming through, maybe we're losing signal here. We could just stop for the night. Prof. Okay. What have you found on that? Prophecy versus mystery. What is prophecy? Most people assume prophecy or prophesying is looking into the future, like looking into Revelation and stuff, and the biblical preaching and teaching of prophecy is basically preaching. Yeah, it's just, you're preaching what the Bible says, and he always has called that prophecy. Okay, so then looking at the word mystery, Brian, before I start yakking here and take away your typing time, have you found anything to do with mysteries, the mysteries that Paul talks about? We did a sermon series a while ago, I think it was back in Touchet, about the mysteries that the Bible mentions. We know that what Paul's mystery is no longer hid. It's been hid up until this point. Nobody else knew about it, but now it's been manifest. Romans, I think it's Romans 16:26. I think that's where it's at. But what you find out when you type in the word mystery, you look at all the mysteries, you find out that the mystery, there you go, but it's no longer hid. So the next thing to do would be, if you typed in the word mystery and read all the verses that talk about mystery, there's like seven or eight mysteries that is mentioned, but yet you'll find out that every mystery that's listed in there, we may not know how it takes place. I mean, how can God be in us, but it is, then those mysteries are all explainable through Paul. Again, we can't explain how they happen, but the explanation is there. So it's no longer really a mystery. What you'd have to do is just take all those verses of the mystery and type them up and look at them and realize, well, we understand that one now from a rightly divided King James Bible standpoint. And the mystery was hid from prophecy. Yeah, it was hid from people known about it so they could tell people about it. There's no place in the scripture to say, well, is this guy Paul going to come along? You know. However, Paul did know something was coming after him. 1 Corinthians 13:10, when that which is perfect has come, the risen Savior told Paul, there is going to be something that comes after you, Paul. And when that thing shows up, all the tongues, all the knowledge from above in your heart, your thinking, your thoughts, and knowledge and speaking in tongues, that kind of thing, it's all going to stop. They're going to have this book. Everything's going to be in this book that they need. And that'll explain everything from Paul's standpoint. So Paul, I believe Paul knew this Bible was coming. By the way, in those books I was telling you about this morning, one of the ways they teach people in the churches, in the modern churches today, to hear from God is that they intuitive praying. You just go by your intuition. And one of the ways it said to go by your intuition, how do you practice that? The first thing it said on the list was, listen to music and listen to all kinds of music. Now, why would that have anything to do with somebody learning how to hear from God on their insight into an intuition aspect? Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, you know what we say about music here. We know what we know this modern music is doing to our churches. It's making them fleshy. So here's what you do. If you want to know how to hear from God in your little inside intuition feelings, then listen to all kinds of music. What a crazy suggestion. So we know that the use of this modern music is damning. It's deadly. And then besides that, we know that in Daniel chapter 3, when Nebuchadnezzar, when you hear the sound of the cornet flute, cornet, harp, sackbut, psaltery, whatever, and all kinds of music, it says, you'll bow down and worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar, which is a type of Christ. So when the Antichrist comes back, and there's such an emphasis on worship today, you know, it's a false worship according to Acts chapter 2, but it's still an emphasis on worship, then music is going to bring these people together. And here's a guy preaching that if you want to learn how to hear from God, listen to what kind of music? All kinds of music. So you stick to this King James Bible, and you'll hear the little clues that are flying around out there that the devil is using. Here's a guy that uses the phrase, all kinds of music, which is exactly what is used in Daniel. And that man is a minister of righteousness, but the wrong righteousness. He's of the devil. And that's the kind of guy Paul is warning us from. Okay. So anyway, there's your mystery prophecy thing. It's prophecy, Old Testament. They have their preacher from their prophets and things. But what was revealed with Paul, that's what you want to say, isn't it? It was a mystery that's now been revealed. As well as all those other mysteries that we're supposed to be good stewards of, which means we still carry them about us, but we now can explain them through Paul's teachings. Or is that just one big, long, five-minute ramble? What else we got here? Anybody want to do the worship one, for example? What's the difference there? Ways of God, chastisement, judgment, tithing, you know. Apostles. Oh, here we go. Godliness that Paul writes about is a belief, a truth. In 2 Peter 1:7, in 2 Peter 1:7, the word godliness that Peter writes about is that conduct or conversation. Okay, well, here we go. Check it out, folks. 1 Peter 1:7, and we know that godliness that Paul writes about is where that's located. Timothy, what? Make note of that anyway. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And then he's saying to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll show you what I would go through to answer that question anyway. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brother, kindness. Well, again, here's your rightly dividing. This is not anything what Paul teaches. This is during the tribulation. In the tribulation, they have to actually be concerned about their conduct, as you put it, conversation, their communication, the way they live their day. So, you look up the words godly, for example. Let's try real quick like here. Okay, we'll go click. Click, 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 click. Okay. And you see there's a whole bunch, there's 10 verses on godly. And there's where you find the usage of the word godly, as you put it, Peter, conduct. Yeah, that's your walk. That's doing the right thing. That's living godly or living ungodly. That means you're doing things that are wrong. Now you just take a quick look, and here, Jude 1:4, for there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, which is flesh, using a flesh. So yeah, it affects their walk, because that's what they'll be judged on. In fact, if you look at Jude 15, the next verse, 15. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Yeah, that's their walk here. 2 Peter 3:11. 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And we know, again, this is a tribulation. This is all referring to their walk. I've heard it said that a lot of the way false teaching becomes in existence is because somebody takes a dispensational truth and changes it to a different dispensation, which is what they do with the word godly. And Paul clears up in Timothy 3 there. So there's your answer for godliness on the left column and the right column. Peter gets an extra Snickers bar this morning, or this evening. That was well done, Peter. No, Peter doesn't get a Snicker because he can get all the Snickers he wants at his store. If you get him something he can't get at his own store. Okay, that was excellent. What else do we want to look at? What time we got here? We got time for more here. Anybody else want to jump in the hot seat for the classrooms tonight? Anything of interest to you? Here we go. Acts, Brian, early Acts church. I got to read these things out loud for the website or for the video people, by the way. Early Acts church, Acts 2:47, 5:11, 7:38 is not the body of Christ. Romans 7:4, 1 Corinthians 10:16, 12:27, 4:12. Well, let's take a gander here. Acts 2:47, we know what that one is. Isn't that the one where it says they want all these people to like them? Have favor with all, yep, 47. Having favor with all the people. And because of that, the Lord added to the church daily. You know, so that's what's happening. Okay, Acts 5:11. Acts 5:11. Oh, right, okay. Fear came upon all the church. Wonder if I can find, there's a verse I want to see if I can't find here. Acts 7:38. Church in the wilderness, right, that's that physical, that's what they call the physical church, the whole crowd out there trekking through the desert with their non-Walmart sandals on that lasted forever. Body of Christ, Romans 7:4. Now remember, we're trying to present this to King James guys. They're rightly dividing things because they don't get it. So isn't that an amazing thing? Romans 7:4. And then the rest of the chapter too, sure. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Let's jump over there if you've got time, anybody. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Cup of blessing we break is not to commune the body of Christ. There we go. 1227. Yep, now we're the body of members in particular. That's the whole section right in there, as well as Ephesians. Then 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 4:12 is 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 4:12. Or should that be 2 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 4:12. Yep, I think you're looking for 2 Corinthians 4:12. Now, are these yours, Brian, or did Adriana come up with some of this stuff, too? I bet you she's coming. I bet you she's getting this stuff, isn't she? 4:12. No, it must be 1 Corinthians 4:12, right? I'm not finding your verse there, Brian. 1 Corinthians 4:12. Oh, I see. Ephesians. I got it. I thought you meant the last one after 1 Corinthians 4:12 is Ephesians 4:12. Duh. Okay, sorry about that. Church, body, and house have interesting comparisons. For instance, a house might be people, not a structure, just like word church might be people. Okay? Yep. Compare like a church or a house to a home. Okay, so that was good. Adriana, you can trust O'Brien there. He knows what he's doing when he gets into this stuff. What else we got? Anybody else want to jump in on one? I'll be the quiet teacher here while everybody's, you know, how if you were in a classroom, nobody would be moving. You'd be staring at nothing. Any slight movement and the teacher will call on you. You don't want to meet her eyes because then she'll call on you. That kind of a thing, right? Well, Brian was gone this morning. Marcia was gone this morning. Oh, Sam, Hebrews 11:7, okay? Oh, yeah. Well, what's 11:7? Hebrews 11:7. Everybody settle down in your chair because when Sam comes up with stuff, he comes up with some, always some good stuff. Anybody out there calling me right now? I don't think it's anybody out there. Noah's house was his family. Yeah, very good. Very good. It's a Washington number, though. 509-263-8767. I don't know that number. Okay, good, good. Don't you find these little things when you're reading and all of a sudden some little pop just comes in there and it's like, boy, that's, now I see something there. One little click there. I heard that, I'll leave it alone. I better not say anything. Stuff you hear is just like, oh, come on, really? What the pastors are teaching the pulpits today is just, it's funny if it wasn't so serious. Anything else? I'm starting. Sometimes the obvious has been clouded by religion. Yeah. The folly, the cloudiness of religion. Totally. Okay, Mark, you got a question. Here we go. Question. Remember, I'm not the Bible answer man. Maybe you can look it up or check it out later, or maybe we might even have, maybe some of you guys have the answers. Okay, question time. You little boy in the third row. What's your question? Yeah, I can answer. I can answer the question with five verses, or two verses minimum within 5 seconds. And I asked Ruffin one time, how can you do that? And he says, well, people ask the same questions over the years. But just stick to Paul and you can answer them a lot better than that. Okay, yes, little boy, what's your question? Probably taking you this long to type your question out. This is probably going to be a long, drawn-out... Oh, here we go. In the Gospels, Christ says people will neither marry nor be married in heaven. Okay? Paul says that people shouldn't get married, but it's okay if they do. Well, they shouldn't get married if they want to serve God 100%. Put it that way. Who was trying to call? Paul says people shouldn't get married, but it's okay if they do, if they want to serve God. Does that match Christ in the Gospels? So when we're in heaven, serving all the time, marriage won't be an issue. Well, I have to be careful with this, but he says we're not going to be. Right. Mr. and Mrs. Adam. Now, do you want the Mormon version? You have as many wives as you want, and the one that you really want to be your main queen pin is you grab her by the hair and drag her out of the grave by her hair. That's why they have to have long hair. So, crazy stuff. Well, keep in mind, John's question statement was for the website people, just wondering why Paul said it's okay if it's not preferred. Well, just like divorce. I mean, God doesn't design divorce so we can just divorce anytime we want, but it is something that could take place and will take place, and he allows it. And why would Paul say marriage is okay but not preferred? All he says is, if you want to serve God 100%, it's better off that you stay unmarried because you'll have certain needs for your spouse. Now, somebody who's just like I can't even think of it now. So yeah, the liberty is still there, but the divorce will still burn up in the judgment seat of Christ. It isn't God's design, but it does exist, and there's no law. So if you do that divorce thing or whatever, you'll still have trouble with it. You'll still have baggage with it. God called them Adam, but who named Eve? Yeah, okay. Adam named her, not God. You know, this talking about Adam and Eve thing, it still floors me that women want to take on our curse. You know, the curse of working and sweating to make the money kind of a thing. And the woman's curse is, in Genesis 3 there, is childbirth that's very painful. You don't see us men trying to have women have their babies out there, you know. Then he also says to the lady, multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. So I tell ladies, you see, we're part of your curse, us men. And you're trying to get rid of us. You're trying to make us look stupid. And by thinking you can fix the world and make it go the way you want to make it go. That's why America has become so feministic and feminized. And when a man comes along and tries to do it his way, it doesn't even fit anymore because the world is so feminated. America is so much of a feministic country now that when a man does do it his way, it's not even accepted by people. Crazy stuff, that curse of the man and the woman. And the women are after ours. Yeah, the old Dominion Theater, Reconstruction crowd, you know, and Finney used to teach that you're not getting, Jesus isn't coming back unless you get all this stuff cleaned up. Well, that's not true. Okay. Well, look at 1 Peter for the question. Does Paul allow for divorce, but the Gospels do not? Paul doesn't allow for divorce. It's just the fact that there's no law. And it's been taken care of. But you go through the expedient, flesh, what are the reasons for divorce, and Paul does talk about it in Corinthians, you know, as far as that part of it goes. And he says you can remarry, but you'll come with baggage. But look at what it says in 1 Peter. I was in an abuse home one time a couple years ago for one of the church ladies, and they had on the wall one of the phrases you'd hear from a Christian man who's beating his wife, for example, was quoted out of Peter, chapter 3. What, and Paul says be obedient, but Peter says be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And again, when you look at what the Bible teaches in the gospel times and the tribulational times, then I believe what it's talking about here is you can't get a divorce. God will say, no, don't you divorce. You just got to stay there and take it and put up with it. And if you can, you'll win him over maybe. So be in subjection to your husband. And that's the verse that people pull out there. You make the women stay around the house that are being abused. Well, God says, no, God doesn't say that. Not for today. Let's see, Matthew 5:31. That's a beatitude. Matthew 5:31. Oh, yeah, the hand thing and all that. Whosoever should put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. So Moses divorced even his own people. But the design is for the marriage to work. And if marriage would be based on Paul's teachings, then marriage would work. But it's quite the stuff, isn't it? Then you got these guys out east the landmark isn't the bride. It's to say, well, if you've been divorced, you can't be a pastor anymore because it says husband of one wife. Well, does that mean then that if you're a single man, you can't be a pastor because you're not a husband of one wife? They just take that stuff and run with it. It's so crazy and so wild. Marriage could have been a word on there for our list, for our two columns, so we can pencil that in. Marriage. So that was good. Anyway, I'm starting to slur my speech. I'm getting sleepy weepy, which is, I don't know why, other than just heat, too quiet around the house, and stuff I still got to get done yet. So anyway, we will let you go. You got the list of words now. Do some more study. Sit down with Adriana. Sit down with people or sit down by yourself and fill those two columns of the verses that explain that particular word in the gospel days as well as in Paul's gospel days, which is still us today. I won't belabor this thing, but it's very interesting. You can't do both. You just can't do both. And if they do, they're an evil, seducing pastor.